Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by Tony Gittins, the founder of FilmFest DC, which is in 35th annual year here, formerly known as Washington DC International Film Fest, now with a catchy title, FilmFest DC, the last few years. It runs June 4th through the 13th, online again this year. Hey, Tony, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always good chatting with you, Jason. It really is.
All right. So, take me into, the decision to go virtual again. I know, last year, you know, over this past year, you guys have done some really cool things where it was like FilmFest DC in your home, you know, you streamed some stuff, but I'll talk about, you know, when you had this big deadline on the calendar and you're like, yeah, you know what? Vaccines are coming, but we're not quite there. Let's go ahead and virtual again.
Well, that was exactly our thought process. We would rather be in theaters. We wanted to go around this time of year, around summer, springtime, and there was just no clear message from anyone about whether the movie theaters were going to open, whether people would feel comfortable going. So we decided to do virtual again, which we had success. We did two virtual festivals last year with success. So, you know, we weren't too concerned about that.
Awesome. Well, you know, maybe one day, you know, it's interesting. We were talking before we hopped on here that, you know, you and I are as big of, you know, we want to go see movies in the theater guys as there are. And, you know, we were talking with our friend Arch Campbell too. And, but even us, we've forced to get used to, you know, watching things at home. And, you know, there is some convenience to it, but especially for a festival, talk about why, how it's going to be really a joy next year to finally get back out there.
People who go to film festivals are true believers. You know, we who can sit through 3, 4, maybe sometimes 5 films a day, a special kind of breed. So that's what film festivals are for. That's who they're for. And you want people around you when you're doing that. You want to run for the popcorn. You want to chat with friends. You want to, compare notes. So when we come back next year, we expect to be in movie theaters and all of that will come back. We look forward to welcoming back our audience.
But in the meantime, thank God we live in an era where, you know, the technology exists that we can stream all of these, virtually for the 2021 festival here. Again, it's June 4th through 13th. Give me the stats. How many films from how many countries, all that stuff.
We're showing 60 films, 35 countries for 10 days, one amazing film festival, we like to say. We usually show more. When we're in person, we show more, but for reasons we just talked about, we brought it down from about 80 to about 60, and we're good films. You know, people are still pounding out those films, man. The technology has allowed for more films to be made, more good films to be made. And so we had a hard choice finding the films and selecting them and narrowing them down from all of the submissions to get where we got. And we think we have a very, very strong presentation this year.
Awesome. Well, let's the reason we're here, let's talk about some of the movies. Obviously, with 60 films, you know, we would be here probably until next month if we talked about all of them. But I know you group them together in categories each year. So do you want to do like opening night, closing night, and then maybe a couple of the genres?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, cool. So I'll tee them up one at a time then for you. Mm-hmm. All right. So opening night series one, what is that about?
Well, we're showing a film called Love Affairs. It's a French film. It's a French romantic comedy about a young lady whose boyfriend asks her to watch over his cousin while he's at work. And the cousin's visiting Provence in France. And they start talking about their relationships, their past relationships, things that worked, didn't work in the past. Their friends is coming and going. It's very French in a way. It's a French comedy. Very, very funny, very pleasant. Especially anyone, that's all of us who've had relationships. So we wanted to start it out with something very light, and that's what we have.
Awesome. And then there's another one, another opening night film too, right?
Yeah, we have another in the middle of the festival. We go into part two, and that is half the films are in one part, half are in the second part. So we're opening part two with Marriage Escape. And when I describe this film to my married friends, they tend to chuckle. This is about a man who has a wife who is just sort of overbearing, who out of love, you know, we like to say about the film, you know, what happens when love is just too much. He puts down the glass, she picks up the glass. He wants the newspaper, she gives him the newspaper. She figures out what kind of clothes he's going to wear, all out of good intentions, but it becomes so much for this guy that this guy decides that he's going to feign dementia, get himself into a mental hospital so he could just get away from his wife for a while. And when I describe it again to my married friends, somehow it sort of rings true in some way for them. So we think that that'll be fun for people to see. And then we're going to close with a film called One Careful Owner. It's a film from Spain. And it's a light comedy also. We're doing a lot of as many comedies as we can as this year because it's been a tough pass for a lot of people here in Washington, D.C. And this is about a woman who wants to purchase an apartment. In the apartment is an older woman. And the older woman says, you can have the apartment at a very good price, but you can't really take it over until I die. So the younger woman says, okay, because this woman's old and she's going to fall at any moment. But she doesn't. And she lives and she lives and she's just a character, and they become very close friends over time. So there's a lot of fun that we hope to have this year.
Awesome. So those are like the three, you know, opening and closing films. And but let's now dive into some, you have the task of trying to find through lines and themes to, you know, group the other films in, which I don't envy you. That's probably a tricky task sometimes. I'm sure some years more than others, things sort of sift themselves out into certain categories. But tell me about Worldview. Tell me what that's about.
Well, worldview is the category that our films, general films with themes, but not a genre films. And they're what we can find to be some of the better films that have been released over the last year or 18 months. And so, for example, this is an interesting film. It's not something we always do. It's called In Balanchine's Classroom. Now, this is about ballet. Their audience, some of your folks out there will who appreciate ballet as I do, know who George Balanchine is, and he was one of the innovators in ballet. And we have the world premiere of this film. It's a beautiful film. You don't have to be a ballet fan to appreciate this film, but we're happy to get the world premiere of that. What we're also doing this year, in parsing the films, going through what's out there, we found that this year there was a very strong grouping of films made by Washington, D.C. filmmakers. So we created a special section this year we call D.C. for Real, R-E-E-L, get it? D.C. for Real, and have some great films in there. One film is called Go-Go City, and it's about Go-Go, you know, the music you and I know. But it's also about gentrification in Washington, D.C., how people who have lovers of go-go, lovers of DC who've been here and made it their home like I did and probably you did. And all of a sudden these other folks are moving in, and it talks about the clash of the folks who've been here to these new folks, gentrification. And then we have another film in this category. It's called The Tale of Three Chinatowns. And this is about DC's Chinatown, among other things, but it's also about the history of Chinese immigration to the United States and how they immigrated and formed these Chinatowns, and how now these Chinatowns are beginning to disappear. The Chinese, a lot of don't live in these Chinatowns anymore. Why? Because of gentrification. So they're two different kinds of films, two different communities, two different history, same problem, same subject. Yeah, and we have some other films in that category.
Jack Nicholson does not show up in that Chinatown film.
No,
but,
no.
But seriously though, it is it's an issue and something that anyone who's lived around DC will know, because there was, you know, all these great restaurants. I think one of them just got, you know, a historical designation by DC the other day. But yeah, I mean, I really think that gentrification started when they put in it was Verizon Center at the time, or no, it was MCI Center, I think, originally.
Yeah, right.
A Poland, but for the Bullets, then Wizards, and the Caps. But yeah, that whole neighborhood's completely transformed. So that'll be a cool film. All right, so we talked DC for Real. We talked the Worldview category. Let's hit another one. How about Justice Matters?
Justice Matters is where we put our social justice films, films about people fighting for right and making the laws work and trying to find their way in this wonderful country. And so we have a number of films there. We have a film from Brazil called Executive Order, and it's a feature film about a point in the near future where the Brazilian government sends all black people back to Africa, sending them back to Africa, and how there's resistance, natural resistance to that. And so it's a film that deals with those issues, but it's also a pretty thrilling sci-fi kind of film. And we thought that was kind of off the charts for us, and for people would love to see it. And then there's, I'm going to go out a little bit on this one. It's called SNCC, and it's a Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And it's for people who may be a little older and remember the impact of this organization, the civil rights organization made up of young people who made a great impact in the South, especially pushing for rights to vote. And it's a history of this organization. And I got to tell you, because I've had some familiarity with that group, it tells a story. You know, Marion Barry came from that, and Eleanor Holmes Norton, Joyce Ladner, who was the president of Howard University. Loads of people came back to Washington, D.C. and cut their teeth in politics working with SNCC. Then there's another film that we have in that category. It's called Writing with Fire. This is a really interesting film from India. It's a film about a newspaper, a news service made up of women who decided that they needed their voices heard. And they use cell phones, and they go out aggressively and get the story. They put it on YouTube. They have like 150,000 followers and growing, and they help each other, and they confront these politicians about issues. I find it a very moving film, because these folks come from what in that country would be considered the lower class. And so they're fighting on all kinds of fronts in order to make their voices heard. And that's one I got to say about our film festival. One of our missions is to make voices that do not get as much attention as we think they should heard. And the great way to do that is through film and through a film festival, and having people come up and see these films. And people have said, you know, gave them, informed them about things they didn't know about. And we've heard some people say they changed their lives. But anyway, we're doing that as well as comedies, as well as thrillers. And that's what film festivals are about. Like you and I were talking about it.
You mentioned the comedies and the thrillers. Go into those really quick, because it is obviously very important for us to see the local stories, DC for real, and the international stories, worldview, and then of course the Justice Matters. I mean, especially this past year, you know, the social theme ones are absolutely important for us to watch. But then in terms of structuring a festival, then you obviously need a little release. So we get us the lighter side. What kind of films are in the lighter side?
We're doing a screening over at the Wharf. I'm sure you guys know the Wharf. It's the new hotspot in DC, and they have a movie screen there. And we went to them and said, look, can we show one of our movies there? And they said, yes. So we picked a film that we thought would be a lot of fun. It's called Love Type D. It's a romantic comedy from the United Kingdom, from London. And it's about a young girl. The opening to this film, I got to tell you, is a scream. It's a scream. She's in a restaurant waiting for her boyfriend to come. This young guy, what is he? Maybe 12 or 13, shows up and asks for her. And her boyfriend has sent this guy to tell her that he's breaking up with her, right? And so she begins to wonder, why are all of her relationships not doing well? She goes to some strange doctor who said, you have the D gene, which means that all of your relationships are going to be doomed. And then she finds out her friends also have this gene. So it goes on and on in this way. And it's a scream at some points. It's really very funny. And having it at the Wharf makes it even more funny. Then we're also showing a film from Spain called Rose's Wedding. It's about a woman who's really put upon, a single woman, children, everybody's on her back to get this done, a job. So she runs away and she decides she needs to take care of herself. So she organizes this wedding where she's marrying herself. She said, I deserve the best. And she organizes this wedding, makes the dress, invites her friends and family to a wedding, and they don't know until they get there to find out what she's doing. So especially for women who feel put upon this way, this is a great release for them. They see they're not alone. They're not alone. So our comedy section is filmed from all over the world. And
then also something that's fun is Trust No One, which is where you get your thrillers. So name a film or two that's in that category, because, you know, I love a good thriller.
Thrillers are good. And there's one film I really like called Dawn of War. And of all places, it's from Estonia. This is why we do this film festival, to find these films that otherwise would not play in Washington, D.C. And it's sort of typical, but it's so well done. It's the Nazis are coming into Estonia. And there's a code book that they have that the police in Estonia, if they could get hold of this, then they have a chance of fighting back. And so they pull this policeman out of retirement, and his job is to go and find this code book. And it's very well done. Of course, he meets a beautiful woman that he has to rescue as well, and has a partner that, so it's all the elements that you would expect. But again, it's from Estonia. And I gotta say, we've been selling tickets for it. People want to see this movie. So, that's just one of the films that we have in our thriller section. We have others. One is, Human Factors from Germany. It's about a family who moves into a house and there's a break-in. But the only person that seems to have seen these people breaking in is the wife. And they begin to wonder, you know, what's going on with her? Is this really true? Because nobody else has seen these thieves break in there. And so it goes for about through the film, wondering, is she right? Is she wrong? Is she trying to pull the wool over people's eyes? So it keeps you going there. It keeps you going, trying to find out the truth of the matter.
That sounds thrilling. So fitting. Awesome. And then I know, you know, maybe time for one more category. You have Arabian Sights. Tell me how that differs from just worldview. This is purely stories from from the Middle East.
Yeah, they're films that were made by Middle Eastern filmmakers. We have been doing Arabian Sights for many years, and we usually do it in October. Since we've been going virtual and schedules and things are so strange, we've incorporated it into our film festival. So it has been part of the film festival this year. We find that is very helpful. But thereby, we feel, again, this is a category of films that don't get a lot of recognition in the United States. And they're good films. And we have our role, part of our mission is to show them.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a great lineup as always. Of course, in addition, there's also, you know, your shorts programs, some interviews, a bunch of different stuff. Go ahead. What'd you say?
Yeah. And we take films to schools. I don't speak about this enough.
Oh,
but
cool.
For years, a part of our festival is we take some of the Justice Matters films and we make them available to teachers who then prepare their students. And then we bring in the filmmakers, and the filmmakers talk to the students about the film. And we've been doing this for a number of years, and the teachers love it. The kids love it. I can tell you, we have letters from students who talked about how they thought they were alone in this issue, or their family was facing something, and now they see that they're not alone. And the filmmakers love it, because usually when they talk to people, it's adults, and here they are talking to high school and middle school students about their film. So, and they come back with great experiences, and at one point, you know, as one filmmaker was saying, it brought her to tears. You know, to hear these folks, and they were singing to her. The students had wanted to give her something, and started, and when it was over, they started singing to her. It was quite moving. So this is another thing that we do. We don't just show films in theaters and run away. No, you know, we're here. We're part of Washington. We try to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah, totally part. You guys are ingrained in the community, and that's great to hear about the schools. I never knew that. Man, Tony, all the years we've talked, we never talked about the schools.
Yeah, I was thinking about it that we don't do that, that I don't bring it up in enough, but it's something that we do. And it does have impact. You know, it's taking the films out of the theaters. You know, the film festival does not always have to happen in a movie theater, as we're finding out now going virtual. But even when we're not going virtual, you know, it's great to take the films and the filmmakers. So not everybody can go to the movie. You know, not everybody can. It's a free series that we do. Not everyone can go to a movie theater. And so, you know, we got to go to where the people are, in this case, the young people in schools.
It's a great service you provide. Thanks for sharing that. I had no idea. All right. Well, I got plenty to work with. So, yeah, before we run, if people want to participate in this year's virtual festival, you know, plug the website and how they get tickets, all that good stuff.
Our website is filmfestdc.org, filmfestdc.org. Easy to remember. Just you look up FilmFest, Google it, you know, we're going to come up. And then tickets are there. And tickets are very inexpensive. They're only $9. We kept it inexpensive this year. Only $9, and they're easy to buy. They're passes that we have. But all the information about all the films in our operations, we have a great series of interviews with filmmakers that we've done. FilmFestDC.org, FilmFestDC.org. Give everything you need about FilmFest DC.
Well, thanks again, Tony. It's a pleasure talking every year, and hopefully, you know, it'll be back in person next year. But in the meantime, everybody, the virtual FilmFest DC, June 4th through the 13th, 60 films from 35 countries, over 10 days, and one amazing festival. To quote you, how you summed it up. Awesome. Tony, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason. You take care. Thanks
as always. All right, you well, man.
All right. Bye-bye.